I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It makes sense that no great nation can be in a position where they can't control their borders. It matters how you control your borders, not just for immigration, but it matters for drugs, terror, a whole range of other things. So that's the first sort of truism. The second truism is that this nation is such that people in the country should have the first opportunity to be able to have jobs that pay well and have jobs that are decent.
Wow. Do you recognize that voice? Younger sounding than it is today. Those words of a man saying we need to have a border. It makes sense to have a border to protect against drugs, criminal activities. That was in 2007 when then Senator Joe Biden was running for the White House. 2007. Joe Biden at that point running for the White House. I'll give you a quick background on that. If you recall, 2008 election was involving candidates originally from the Democrat side. Let's focus on them for a moment. You've got, of course, the winner ending up being Barack Obama, the junior senator from Illinois. And Joe Biden was also at that time contesting him in the primary, but then decided to team up with Barack Obama and become his running mate in the general election. They were facing Republican ticket of John McCain, senior senator from Arizona, and Sarah Palin from Alaska. They were all in the race to replace President Bush because he had termed out. He had served his second term and could not be reelected. But Biden at that point was making it very clear, without saying it in my words, but it says the same thing, without a border, you don't have a country. That's what he thought in 2007. My, how things have changed. Hey, thanks for joining us. Here we are, January 9, 2024, the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back right here for you. We're here Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m., and while we're on the air, we're also streaming video at News Talk STL Facebook, Rumble, and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook, Rumble, and Twitter, and if you miss anything, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com, and pull up the podcast of it. However, yesterday, we're having a little problem getting them posted. Apparently, I had a card that got hacked, had to shut it down, and so now we got to reinitiate payments to get it back up. So I'm not blaming anyone other than whoever got into my account and I had to cancel the card. But you can always get the programs, even if you can't go and pull it up at LarryConnorsUSA.com. They're always available at Larry Connors USA Facebook or on Twitter, so you're always going to be able to get them. Also, another program note for you. Tomorrow night is a Haley-DeSantis debate. It will start at 8 o'clock. It will start immediately following our program tomorrow night, so make note of that. Now, back to Joe Biden as he was in 2007, speaking to potential voters in Iowa about what he thought we needed to be doing to protect our country. Joe Biden.
I've been arguing for the need to put more protection at our borders, meaning that you have more border guards. This president, refusing to add the number of border guards, now said he has to send the National Guard down. He vetoed. He was against adding the number of border guards. I only can suggest the reason he was is because he needed that money for his tax cuts that were unnecessary. I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. Again, show me what you value. He had put a higher value on tax cuts for the wealthy than he did on protecting the border. And all of a sudden, the public responds, and now he says, now we got to send the National Guard down there that's already overstretched by God knows how much.
And of course, again, that's Joe Biden, Senator Joe Biden in 2007, and talking about that Bush was ignoring it and wasn't sending more down there because he's got to continue his tax cuts. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole right now. But again, there was Joe Biden in 2007 talking about how important it is that we stop any illicit activity coming across our border, including illegal crossing. During the Obama administration, there were 5 million illegal immigrant encounters. 5 million. When Trump came in, there were 4.7 million. Not that big of a drop because in the beginning, they were still coming because of Biden. Not Biden, but Barack Obama. They were still flooding in until Trump put in place Remain in Mexico. That began to sharply reduce it. Since Biden has been in office, there are 13 million illegal immigrant encounters. 13 million. No telling how many gotaways. So yesterday, Alejandro Mayorkas, DHS, Department of Homeland Security Secretary, going down to Eagle Pass, Texas, and admitting, yes, in December when you had 302,000 in our country illegally, yeah, there was a surge and it was an issue.
These agents and officers encountered an historic number of migrants in December, including large numbers of migrants who arrived at the border at one time, putting tremendous stress on our broken immigration system, our under-resourced facilities, the communities. I met with Eagle Pass elected leaders earlier today, and most importantly, our agents and officers themselves. Yet, these agents and officers managed through it all as they always do. They processed the migrants into immigration enforcement proceedings in an orderly way. They returned and removed those who have no claim for relief or legal basis to remain.
And you know what he did not say in that public appearance? But apparently, according to Border Patrol agents, when he addressed them later, he admitted that at least 80% of those who were being detained ended up being released into the U.S. 80%. Well, Congressman Chip Roy of Texas says Mayorkas knows the numbers. He knows the danger he's putting our country in.
300,000 apprehensions in December. Do the math, right? We're talking about 250,000 releases in December. That's not counting the 50,000 or so rough gotaways that we would estimate we're getting on a monthly basis, which are the worst of the worst, by the way. And that is a major drain on our state and Texas, $12.5 billion we've had to spend out of our own money to do what the federal government is supposed to do. And it's long past due for us to do something about it. It's why I don't think we should be funding the government without getting change. I sure don't think we ought to be giving more money to Ukraine without forcing the change at the border we need to. It's the only tool we have, Neil. I mean, I'm not trying to rattle about shutdown for the sake of it, but the people I represent, they're good Lord, shut down the border or shut down the government until you wake up President Biden and Mayorkas to do their job.
Good idea. However, getting it done is the next issue. The House has control of appropriations. They have said we're going to lock arms and we're not going to budge on any deal, no money, even for our government, except for essential services, until we have the money that we need at the border, not to hire agents to process and take names, but to stop and apprehend and deport. But that's what we're doing under the Biden administration, is just welcome mat is there. And even Mayorkas the other day said, one of the big issues why so many are coming, as if it's suddenly a surprise, he calls it the pull factor. The pull factor means they understand that if they can get here, they can stay. Now, how do you stop that? Well, you shut the damn border. Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, doesn't see that that is necessary. But Senator Joe Biden in 2007 saw there was a necessity.
So I think what you have to do is you have to have a significant increase in the security at the border, including limited elements where you actually have a fence. Not a fence 3,000 miles like these folks are talking about, but you've got to, there are certain places people can go over and under a fence, but you can't take 100 kilos of cocaine over and under a fence. And what you do when you have limited places where fences are in populated areas, you force these drug dealers and others around, making it easier to apprehend because there's fewer places to come through. So I think the combination of virtual fencing, some fencing, additional border patrol is important.
Is important. And going back to the opening statement of this segment, where Biden was telling those listening to him as a senator in 2007, no great nation can be in a position where they can't control their borders. What was the first thing he did when he went into office? Paused deportations, suspended remain in Mexico, stopped border wall construction. And of course, he's got under him Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas carrying out all these orders. And Congressman Chip Roy says, yes, there's good reason to impeach Mayorkas.
He's ignoring his duty under the Constitution to secure our border and follow the laws and make sure that they're faithfully executed. I think it's totally impeachable. But keep in mind, he had a meeting, I think it was yesterday, one of my colleagues said that he kind of scoffed. He said, if you guys impeach me, you know, good luck with what you're going to get behind me. Hmm. Basically saying that that Biden would appoint somebody as radical and as crazy or even worse than he is. And I think that's the reality we got to remember. Our key tool here is the power of the purse. I'm for impeaching him. I'm glad that Mark Green's going to have a hearing tomorrow with Mayorkas. I think we'll proceed with it. I'm for it. But let's be clear. If you don't use the power of the purse, you're not going to check an administration that doesn't care about the rule of law.
Good. Good point. Congressman Chip Roy. Yesterday and today, Dr. Fake... There I did it again. Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fake, has been testifying behind closed doors on his actions during and leading up to COVID and thereafter. Well, soon he's going to be in a public hearing. But one of the statements from the closed door session from yesterday is astonishing. Astonishing. I want to share that in a moment, but first I want you to hear from Ohio Congressman Brad Winstrup. He is a Republican, chair of the subcommittee. And he got a question for him about the questioning of Fauci.
You said it's time for Dr. Fauci to confront the facts. What's the most important thing that you want to hear from him?
Well, I want to hear some answers to a lot of questions, and many of them just come up to why. You know, when we started this investigation, it was an after-action review, lessons learned. What did we do right? What did we do wrong? And certainly looking at the origins of COVID. And that's the part that seems to be the most perplexing to the American people is why would Dr. Fauci and others not want to have a scientific debate on this topic? And so it's not only a lack of transparency from China, which we should grow to expect that from China. But now we've seen this within our own government, and the stalling has been unbelievable.
No doubt the stalling has been unbelievable. And here is the astonishing statement. It's quoted in the New York Post, and they were in fact quoting, I believe, Winstrup of Ohio. He said, keep in mind, Fauci, 83 years of age, is indicating he's going to be very cooperative, did it yesterday and supposedly is doing it today behind closed doors in advance of what will end up being a public hearing. But Fauci apparently said, I don't recall a lot about the early days of COVID. I don't recall a lot about the early days of COVID. Is he going to use the amnesia in place of Fifth Amendment protection? Can't get me in perjury if I don't recall it. Now, there was another part of the something that involving Fauci and the funding that we were sending through his NIH group to China, the Wuhan lab. You remember that? Well, that 2 years ago, Senator Kennedy of Louisiana was drilling down on Fauci, claiming that, no, there was nothing wrong going on. There was no gain of function, which he disputed constantly with Senator Rand Paul. And then Senator Kennedy got his chance at Fauci and the money going to China.
Dr. Fauci, I believe you have testified that that you didn't give any money to the Wuhan lab to conduct gain-of-function research. Is that right?
That is correct.
How do you know they didn't lie to you?
Excuse me, sir?
How do you know they didn't lie to you and use the money for gain-of-function research anyway?
Well, we've seen the results of the experiments that were done and that were published, and that the viruses that they studied are on public databases now. So none of that was gain of function. So
how do you know they didn't do the research and not put it on their website?
There's no way of guaranteeing that, but in our experience with grantees, including Chinese grantees, which we've had interactions with for a very long period of time, they're very competent, trustworthy scientists. I'm not talking about anything else in China. I'm talking about the scientists, that you would expect that they would abide by the conditions of the grant, which they've done for the years that we've had interactions.
So you don't think the Chinese would lie to you?
Well, when you say the Chinese are a rather broad group. I know the scientists that we've dealt with have been trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. You think all the scientists have told the truth in terms of the origin of the Wuhan virus and not been influenced by the Communist Party of China, do you?
I don't have enough insight into the Communist Party in China to know the interactions right. between them and the scientists, sir.
Is he really that naive, or he expects us to be so naive? If you're in China under communist rule, don't you think you're going to do what they tell you to do? And you're going to answer the questions they tell you to answer and how to answer? And Dr. Fauci, as scientist, well, I don't really know. I mean, we trust the scientists we worked with. Simple question for Kennedy. How do you know they didn't lie? I don't. No kidding. Now, Weintraub, who is, again, the Ohio congressman heading up this subcommittee for the closed-door hearings involving Fauci. As you well know, Senator Rand Paul has also talked about and did file a criminal complaint against Fauci with the Department of Justice to get him on perjury. No action from the Department of Justice. But that question also got raised to Congressman Weintraub.
That remains to be seen, because what are the motives for some of the decisions? Are they criminal? I don't know about that. They may certainly be political or personal. And I think those are questions that everyone's asking. And some indications would say, yeah, you don't want to say this came from the lab because you've been funding this type of research. So if it came from nature, then your hands are clean. But otherwise, you may have a direct connection to one of the worst pandemics that the world has ever seen. And Dr. Fauci, by his own admission, and many articles he wrote going back to 2011, in interviews 2012, he said he's all for this type of research, which would make viruses more infectious. Their idea was, if they can make it, then they may be able to find the cure, and wouldn't that be great? But he was even asked in 2012 about the risk of a pandemic forming because of this type of research, and he felt that the benefits outweigh the risk. Those were his quotes.
And I need to make sure you understand that's Ohio Congressman Winstrup. I think I said Wine. It's Winstrup. In our next hour, Biden is losing black voters like crazy. Is that a call for Michelle Obama to enter the race? We'll get into that story in the next hour. But first, I have a guest coming up from the Heritage Foundation, an expert on healthcare policy, and I want to know what he thinks Fauci might still be hiding from Congress. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business. affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The big question on so many things is why. Why would you want to steer this to say, oh, this definitely came from nature? Why would you want to have scientists out there put their reputations on the line to come out and try and steer the country on the nature idea when there's so much evidence that said this likely came from the lab, could have come from the lab. And certainly we will talk about vaccine mandates. Look, Dr. Fauci painted himself as the face of science in involving COVID and all things COVID. And there's a lot of experts out there that have expertise that he doesn't have. And so I think that from a public health perspective, America needed really to be hearing from the doctors that are treating COVID patients, not necessarily the guy in the lab and certainly not the politician.
And not the politicians, which would include the Biden politicians and the like. That is, again, Ohio Congressman Winstrup, Republican, chair of the subcommittee, now questioning Fauci behind closed doors yesterday and again today. Well, what actually are they getting? I want to bring in my guest. He's an expert on health policy with Heritage Foundation, Robert Moffitt. Bob, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Great to be here, Larry. Good talking to you.
Well, let's begin with something that I found absolutely astonishing, as according to Ohio Congressman Winstrup, and that in quoted also in the New York Post, that Fauci said he doesn't recall much about the early days of COVID.
Yeah, it's quite incredible that the leader, the face of America's response to the most severe pandemic since the 1918 flu, cannot remember key elements of a public policy process in which he was intimately involved.
I don't want to put you right on the spot, but I'm going to. Do you think that's just the beginning of an amnesia explanation? I can't be held guilty of perjury if I just don't remember and I don't have to invoke the Fifth?
Let me put it this way. This is a continuation of something that took place earlier that everybody seems to have forgotten. There is a major case between the state of Missouri and the Biden administration.
Correct.
and the state of Missouri sued the Biden administration over censorship of top medical professionals who had scientific disagreement with CDC and NIH. In any event, during that depositions in the Missouri case, Fauci claimed 174 times that he could not recall, in response to various questions concerning his role with regard to the COVID pandemic. So this is a continuation of something that the state of Missouri has had to deal with, in this court case. I recall, of course, we all know from, basic civics, you cannot be indicted for a bad memory. And that's certainly the case.
Well, Bob, I was wondering if you're looking over my shoulder as I was doing show prep, because I was going to bring out the Missouri case. You beat me to it. But again, the 174 times, right? 174?
Yes, that is correct.
I just don't recall.
I don't recall.
All right. Now, let's get what else? What do you think? We know what we want to know. Let me put it that way. What do we think Fauci is going to continue his best to hide?
Well, he's in a very, very tough spot.
Good.
Because he testified already before the United States Senate and got into a very heated exchange with Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky.
Correct.
Who what Rand Paul did is Rand Paul asked him a very, very specific question about gain of function research and whether that gain of function research had been financed by federal taxpayers through the National Institutes of Health. In the case of the Paul testimony, his testimony before the Senate Government Affairs Committee, Fauci said that under no circumstances did he fund gain-of-function research. But what we know subsequently, and it's not a debate, I mean, these are kind of, raw facts. We know from the Government Accountability Independent Report, or pardon me, the HHS Inspector General, that the National Institutes of Health did a very poor job supervising the grants going to China. That's not my opinion. That's not the opinion of the Heritage Foundation.
Right.
That is the opinion of the HHS Inspector General. My guess is that what they did is they're playing a game of semantics about the meaning of gain of function.
Oh, of course they are.
The tradition.
It's the old Clinton playbook, deny, deny, deny. I did not have sex with that woman, so we redefine sex as we redefine everything when the left wants to. Now, you brought Rand Paul earlier before you joined us also, and that he's filed a criminal complaint with the Justice Department. So far, no reaction. Reference perjury.
Yeah, that's right. He filed a complaint whether Fauci committed perjury in his May 2021 Senate testimony on the origins of the coronavirus. The key issue there, once again, was whether any federal funds that were used by that came out of the National Institute of Health were used to finance gain of function in China. Once again, Fauci denied repeatedly that there was any federal funding of gain of function research. But what he did during that testimony is he said, the way in which we have defined gain-of-function research, we didn't fund it. The problem is, once again, the problem here is, are they playing a semantics game? As you pointed out, Bill Clinton went to the extreme about, when he was asked whether he had sex with that woman, and
I never did. Now, Senator Kennedy, before you joined us, also went back 2 years ago. We ran a clip of Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana asking a very simple question to Fauci when he insists, we got good information, the correct information, legitimate information from these Chinese scientists we worked with before, and Kennedy asked one question. How do you know they didn't lie?
Well, that's correct. I mean, Kennedy, of course, is terrific at getting to the bottom of everything with the, you know, with some very, very clever quips. But the point is that, you know, in the case, this is once again, you know, a very, very simple proposition. Rand Paul repeatedly requested the Justice Department to conduct an investigation into whether Fauci committed perjury in his Senate testimony. The point is, very simply, if the administration wanted to simply clear Fauci, all they had to do was conduct the investigation.
Correct.
And that's it. And let the, you know, whatever, you know, whatever they, you know, very frankly, if he's innocent, there's nothing to, be concerned about here.
Well, let's go down another line, Bob. I want to go down one other line. You're listening to Robert Moffitt, health, heritage expert, policy expert, health expert for the Heritage Foundation. The other question is, supposedly in the subcommittee, he's been asked or will be asked and will be asked again, I guess, in public hearing when they have that one, about accepting royalties and failing to disclose potential conflicts of interest. Now, Fauci said he donates all royalties. At one time, of course, was the highest paid U.S. government official, left the government in December 2022 with $11 million. But he said, I didn't take any royalties or money to further the Chinese efforts. Is that a criminal issue to look into? I'd say yes.
Well, I think, well, first of all, I mean, he's supposed to disclose all of his income. And then that's part of being a federal employee. I had to do it when I was in the Reagan administration. Everybody has to do that. I mean, that's just basic stuff. If he's, you know, if he's making a lot of money, it raises a more fundamental question, though. I'm not, you know, forget the Chinese thing for a minute. I mean, I doubt very much that, you know, that Anthony Fauci was ever taking money from the Chinese. I've never seen that, you know, I haven't seen any reports to that effect. And so I think we ought to stop jumping to those kinds of conclusions. However, the more serious issue, I think, and the more likely problem is whether or not, you know, senior officials at the NIH, you know, have a conflict of interest when they are involved in making public policy decisions, which engage or which involve pharmaceutical companies where they may have a financial interest.
Right.
That to me is a very serious problem. We know that at least we have some indications that, you know, that Anthony Fauci and others at the National Institutes of Health have had investments in pharmaceutical companies. I think really what we need here is we need the old fashioned good government, you know, separation of personal and private interest when people take responsibility or take a public office. I would like to see, you know, I'm sure that, you know, that Congressman Wenstrup and his colleagues will look into this, but I think what we need to do is we got to make sure that there is an absolute wall of separation between individuals and public life. And this applies not only to Fauci, but it clearly applies to Congress.
And Bob, in the last 15 seconds, I really want us not to forget that 1.1 million Americans died during this debacle. 15 seconds for you,
absolutely,
sir.
Yeah, 1.1 million Americans died, and the performance of the Biden administration in responding to legitimate congressional requests has been absolutely abysmal.
Absolutely abysmal is correct. Robert Moffitt, thank you again for your time, sir.
It's a pleasure. Great talking to you, Larry.
Thank you, sir. We'll do it again. Coming up, Biden is losing black voters in every direction. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800, new roof.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com, locally owned.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
New data is now showing warning signs for Democrats ahead of the midterms. A key voting group that is considered reliably Democratic does not seem as solidly blue as it once was. CNN senior data reporter Harry Enten is joining us now. So, Harry, as we move into the midterms here, you say that we're actually seeing some real movement among a core Democratic group.
Yeah, so take a look here. This is black voters' electoral preferences in pre-election polling. Look, black voters are the core part of the Democratic Party. And as you can see here in the race for Congress, look, they're still getting 74% support in the pre-election polling right now. But compare that to the final polling for 2020 president and 2018 Congress. Back in 2020, it was 84%, 85% in 2018. So you're clearly seeing right here that there is less support for Democratic candidates for Congress among African Americans. And you can look at the Republican column as well, and you can see that 12%, not exactly high, but that's actually the high watermark.
The high watermark. Not very high, but that's still the high watermark. Again, that was a CNN report on their surveys and their analysis of where Biden is, reference black voters, black support, the core of the Democrat Party as far as getting anything and everything they want, although it's been changing. Because as we all know, I don't care the color of your skin, you're capable of thinking for yourself. But too often in the past, they've simply been led down the path to just go vote for the guy we tell you, and we'll come back and pick you up in 4 years. We'll do it all over again. Again, now that survey you were listening to from CNN was regarding looking at the congressional votes and how the numbers were. I want to go back and pull up the specifics on that, because I know when you get a lot of numbers that are given to you in the sense of a radio show, it's very hard sometimes to pick out the specifics of the numbers. So let me go back into breaking it down for you a little bit more detail of what the CNN reporter was talking about as to how the votes are going at this time to help Biden or not help Biden. Now, when he looks at these numbers, you heard him talk about the high marks and the high turnout and everything else they were having. And I'm finding here that when they were going through all of this, keep in mind that Biden had said the policies and previous statements from others has probably offended many black voters. Well, actually, some of what the Biden campaign has said have also been offensive. As he told Charlemagne Le God, a black man, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're voting for me or Trump, then you ain't black. That is a full turnoff, obviously, for anyone that was looking to deal with what we were hearing at that time on the black voters. The campaign, as CNN was showing it, has got so many basics around it. And again, I remind you, this is a CNN report dealing with the congressional races. But let me break out the numbers again for you. You heard him say the 2022 congressional basis for Democrats among black voters' preference, 74%. 74% sounds high. But you go back to 2018, it was 85%. That was actually a final count at that point. 85% of Democrat blacks voted for the Democrat congressional members. The current 2022 congressional base is looking at Republicans, 12% of black voters who were Republican say they will go that way in the congressional election. Back in 2018, only 9%, so it's grown again another 3%. And these are some of the latest numbers. We don't know how good those numbers are going to hold as you move forward. The other thing he was pointing out, Joe Biden's approval rating among black adults. In August, September 2022, Joe Biden had a 64% approval rating among black adults. In 2021, he was at 87%. You can't ignore what's happening around them and falling apart. And there are many questions coming up about, is Michelle going to come into the race? We're going to get into that later in the next hour. But I do want to share something else with you. Even the Chinese, as if it's a matter of piling on to Joe Biden. I don't like this. I don't like this, even though it's dealing with President Biden, who I think has failed us in many ways. I don't like to see one of our enemies call our president inadequate. But unfortunately, they're reflecting and echoing what we're saying in the country here. But I still take no joy in a foreign adversary such as China saying our president is inadequate. And yet we know he is. We know he is by their very actions. Not only China, but Russia. When they decide to go into Ukraine, they weren't worried about Biden. They also thought inadequate, incompetent, doesn't have the courage to stand up. Whatever the wording they wanted to choose. But I'm looking at a Chinese state-run propaganda newspaper, Global Times, declaring President Joe Biden is inadequate and the administration disorderly. Again, I can't fight the wording of what they've chosen, nor the reason. But I don't like hearing it from a foreign adversary. You know what they're talking about in particular? They're talking about the secret hospitalization of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. He just disappeared. He went into the hospital in December for some elective surgery. Then on January 1, he had to go back to Walter Reed for some complications. He was put in ICU. That suggests that he might have been at least incapable of making any decisions, may or may not have been a real life-threatening ICU issue. It may have been just a way to isolate him and keep others from being near and provide additional safety for him. I don't know. I'm not trying to make a speculation. But the fact that he was in ICU, even then, his second-in-command was not notified, you might need to be here and on standby. She was not told until the next day. And she said, well, I'll rush right up there. They said, called her later, and said, don't worry, he's going to be okay, he'll be all right. Biden, President Biden was not told until the day after that. And members of Congress and senior defense officials were not told Lloyd Austin is in Walter Reed Hospital. They weren't told until another day. But, of course, you have White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre insisting Biden continues to have complete confidence in him. And Biden himself has also said, I'm not going to fire him for that. And even if he gave me his resignation, I wouldn't accept it. Members of Congress obviously condemning Austin. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas. Now, I expect this in our nation. This is what we do in this nation. We debate and go over these things. But Senator Tom Cotton said that is a shocking breakdown in Pentagon procedures and demanded consequences. But again, the White House says the president has no intention of firing Austin. And if he gave him his resignation, Biden wouldn't accept it. So as much as I hate to hear that kind of news from the Chinese Communist Party paper, unfortunately, they are right. By the way, Mike Roman, who's a political operative, one of the 18 co-defendants with Donald Trump in the Georgia election case, filing a motion claiming that the Fulton County District Attorney, I call her Fanny, I think it's supposed to be Fonny, but I'm going to call her Fanny Willis, had an improper relationship with a colleague. Roman, again, is one of those charged with Trump and 17 others for crimes relating to, allegedly, the Trump campaign challenging the efforts of the 2020 election in Georgia. He is now saying that Fanny hired a special prosecutor who took her on exotic vacations, potentially fraudulent money there anyway, and at that time also a little romantic affair sprung up, so to speak. Good questions to raise since she's relying on him for information about Trump. Coming up every morning on the Vic Percelli program, Vic and producer Ken Williams begin the program with the Pledge of Allegiance. And today, after doing that, they were talking about the time that comedian Red Skelton took time to break down what the Pledge of Allegiance actually meant. So back to 1969 when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, Wherever she waves, there's respect. Because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job.
Freedom is everybody's job. Now, again, that's Red Skelton doing a skit on his TV show he had back in 1969. And he was talking about a principal he had that came into class and addressed the class as he began his remarks, saying, yeah, you kids are, you're just saying it. You're saying the words. You don't get it. You're not paying attention. Blah, 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 blah. You don't even know what they mean. You don't have any understanding. So the principal was trying to instruct those students, understand the words, the value, and the weight of those words. I think we all could use that refresher all over again. So, again, as I said, when Vic and Ken began their program every morning with the Pledge of Allegiance, I love that. And then the fact that they reminded or were talking about Red Skelton when he did that breakout of the Pledge of Allegiance, I thought, I'm really glad they said that, because maybe that's something we all need to refocus on again. I told Vic, I didn't get a chance to tell Ken that I was going to be doing this tonight, because it's something we do need in this nation. And it's not just listening to the words and understanding them. It's what you carry in your heart about this nation. The flag, unfortunately, we reached a point where it's okay to burn it. That's a First Amendment expression. Don't have to like it. And some who fought to make sure you have the rights and privileges under our Constitution in this nation saw friends die to protect the value of that flag, and then to watch somebody just light a fire to it and mock all those who defended it. It's got to hurt. It should hurt. But they also defended your right for your free speech. But I remind you, just because you have the right to speak freely doesn't mean you should open your mouth in many cases. I want to go back to some of what Red Skelton was sharing, again, participating in his piece in 1969, acting like the principal was addressing the students on the value and understanding of the Pledge of Allegiance.
And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine.
It's a good refresher, a good reminder, is it not? We are a republic. And as we always like to remind you in closing this program each hour, I quote part of that pledge for you, and I know many of you are already saying it ahead of me. We have a second hour coming up, but in wrapping this hour, remember our pledge, one nation under God.